Welcome to the Podcast Discovery Show, the podcast about other podcasts, where each week we have a book club style discussion about a podcast, and at the end of the episode, we have a brand new recommendation for you to go out and listen to. We'll discuss that one next week. I'm Josh.
I'm Kirk.
And I am Zach.
And this week we're talking about van sounds.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
Yes, and also like, clink, jingle, jingle, jingle.
Why is it jingling?
Yeah, what's wrong with this van?
That's the keys.
Oh, okay.
So you turn the van on and off with
okay,
the keys.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, gotcha.
No, not those kind of van sounds. It is, this podcast is interesting, and this is, there's some that are like investigative journalism, like where they talk about a certain topic and they interview people. There's some that are more like philosophy-based. There's a lot of really weird esoteric episodes that I really enjoy. And it's just, it's different than a lot of other podcasts you'd listen to. And the other thing
is
that's really cool is he has people do, they compose new music for the show
a lot
of times. So you'll have really cool, like instrumental pieces, like in between the different, interviews and things like that throughout the podcast. So it's a really cool show overall. And the specific episode we're talking about is called Rule of Thumb. So if you like this episode, go check out the episode called Kathmandu 666. Which is talking about death metal in Nepal and a hobo, a tramp, and a bum.
And then what was your very abstract one you talked about?
And then there's one called Lucian.
It's like a three-parter, right?
Four-parter. It's a four-part episode that I'm not going to give anything away, but listen to it if you like esoteric philosophy-based podcasts because it's very, it's a slow burn.
I don't even know what that means. I want to listen to it just to find out what you mean.
If you're curious about what those words mean. You can listen to this episode.
Yeah, it's really...
I know what those words mean. I just don't know what it means in a podcast sense.
You don't have to lie. I'm not judging you.
That was the first four episodes of this podcast I listened to, and that's what I said, okay, I got to recommend this podcast, but let me do one that's not a four-part episode and such a slow burn. So, highly recommend the show overall. The audio quality is really good. If y'all didn't listen to it on headphones, he has really crisp, high-quality audio. I think he does some audio engineering work, so he's very invested in like the audio quality being good, which is something that's I always take note of in podcasts because there's a lot of podcasts with bad audio quality. So you note when it's really good. So really like the show. The episode I recommended was Rule of Thumb, and it's all about hitchhiking, which I thought was fascinating. And I listened to this episode, and I was like, I'd never thought about hitchhiking for more than like 30 seconds in my life before this.
And so, like,
didn't realize this was such a thing.
The show basically opens with him actually hitchhiking,
yeah,
which was awesome,
yeah.
And he hitchhiked for a while, and that kind of went throughout the whole episode. But throughout the episode as well, he interviewed people. One was an author. One was just somebody that had done a lot of hitchhiking.
It's someone he knew that did hitchhiking to do like to get between different places in a hiking trail.
Yeah.
So she was on a long hiking trail. Trip. And so she said, I'm going to just hitchhike between the different spots. And that's one that I thought was a really interesting perspective is like a female perspective on hitchhiking, because a lot of women would say, I'm not hitchhiking.
And she does at least address that, you know, she does address kind of the things that you have to deal with from that perspective as well.
And then he interviews somebody that had kind of created a website essentially to help hitchhikers find where the best places to hitchhike are, especially in, you know, cities and stuff like that, which we'll talk about in a little
bit.
It is a fun thing to say.
Hickey.
It sounds like, I was going to say, it sounds like something you get from your girlfriend in high school.
Then you have to hide it.
Yeah. Me and my girlfriend went out last night, came home with a hitchwicky.
Sounds like
right on my neck.
Sounds like a disease.
I got the hitchwicky.
I caught a case of the hitchwicky.
Doc, can you help me out with the hitchwicky?
I need some penicillin for my hitchwicky.
Yeah, it does sound like that.
But it was really interesting that he kind of went through the cultural mindset and shift on hitchhiking over time and where it kind of came from. And I didn't know that it started out as a Depression era thing where people didn't have money for gas.
Yeah.
So they would just be like, they would hitchhike to wherever they needed to go because they didn't have gas, and they would just hitchhike to save everyone money and time.
I feel like I always knew it was necessity based because I felt like in general, people aren't going to, I want to hitchhike for fun. I have a car, but don't worry about that. I'm going to hitchhike. I always felt like it was necessity based, but I didn't realize it came from like a time where there was a lot of that. And there was a time where it was a lot more prevalent because there wasn't people didn't have options, and a large scale group of people didn't have options. And so it became popular during the Great Depression. And that was definitely an interesting thing that he threw in there.
Yeah. And I'd be interesting to hear how much hitchhiking there was during like the free love 70s, that kind of era.
I think it was, it seems like hippies, it would still be strong.
I think hippies probably really were into the idea of hitchhiking, where you just kind of go wherever
where
the wind blows. And I'd be interested to hear that kind of angle on it as well. I'd never looked into it, but I would be willing to bet there was a lot of it then too.
It seems like it.
Have any of you guys ever hitchhiked?
No.
I have not.
I haven't either. I've picked up hitchhikers.
I have as well.
I've definitely picked up people, but the like I feel like the that, at least the first guy's popping into my head, he seemed really sketchy, so I made him ride in the back of my truck, like in the bed.
I feel like that's a safe thing to do.
No, and I mean, yep. I drive safe. Like, he wasn't in danger, but I just felt like, look, man, I want to help you out, but I'm not really, like, into the vibe you're putting out.
Now, something he didn't mention, because, to be honest, he said that's kind of like a coveted hitchhike. You know, that's, like, the ideal in a lot of ways, because you're just kind of, you don't have to deal with the weird interactions.
Seatbelts.
Yeah, no seatbelts. They might have a dog in the back with them. With you, you have a little friend.
I have a shovel back there right now.
Yeah, yeah, that stuff. But something he didn't. How? What is the unspoken being like? Hey, you go in the back of my car.
No, I basically.
How does that work?
I just said to him, "Hey, man, hop in the back."
You lock the doors.
I rolled up the windows really slowly. I had to do it as slowly as possible so he got the idea. It's like, no, no, get in the back, and then he didn't.
No, it's
you throw him a pillow. Hey, go sit on that.
I did not give him a pillow. But he also changed the story like three times. He's like, I need gas and food and I need a ride. It's like, I need you to pick a lane, man. Yeah. Like, I'll give you a ride somewhere close by. But
yeah, I picked up a hitchhiker recently. I was on my way to work, actually, and there was a guy standing at the corner at one of the stops on my way to work, and he kind of flagged me down. I rolled my window down. He's like, hey, I missed the bus. I'm trying to go south. And I was like, I'm heading south. I can take you down that way as far as I'm going. You can tell me whenever and I'll let you out. And he's like, all right. He hops in. He's like, yeah, I missed the bus. My wife's mad at me. She's all mad because I didn't do this thing for our kid, et cetera, et cetera. And like kind of gave me a sob story and then asked me for money. He's like, all right, here's $5. Now get out of my car.
Here's $5. So go away, please.
He got $5 to get a free ride. So I think he won on that exchange. But I mean, if he seemed like he was having a bad day, whatever he used the $5 for, he probably needed it more than me. So it's kind of one of those, give a little bit good back into the world and hope it makes a positive difference out there.
Yeah. And I mean, it was interesting in this podcast. They say like kind of the rule is you let the driver decide how much talking there is. I hadn't really thought about that, where you have to think about like, okay, I don't want to just talk the whole time I'm in their car. I don't want to just berate them with
random. It's like the opposite of the Uber rules.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like Uber is the opposite.
Yes.
It's like, let the passenger choose whether we want to talk or not.
And I mean, it kind of goes both ways, honestly, because definitely there's been times where we, the three of us, have taken Ubers, like when we go on trips together. And there was one guy in particular, we tried like three times. We're like, hey, man, where are you from? Are you having a good night tonight? Just no, did not acknowledge even in any way that we had spoken in the car. Just looked straight ahead. To be fair, I think that he spoke a different language because his GPS was definitely speaking a different language.
Well, I also opened as soon as we got in. I said, hey, what's your farting policy in your car?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then you like pointed at me like, this guy's got lots of farts. I'm like, dang it.
So,
really?
So I think that he hated us from the first second we were in his car, and he wanted us out of there, so he didn't want to talk to us. But then at the same time, sometimes you will start talking to Uber drivers, and they're awesome. You can have a great conversation
with them. That same trip, we had a driver that talked to us for a good bit, and he told us stories about how he got attacked by one of his passengers. Remember that?
Were y'all with us when we got trivia from Uber driver?
I was not.
I think Zach. Who was I with? I was with a group of people. We had trivia. There was one guy that gave us trivia the whole time.
That sounds kind of fun.
That's kind of an awesome idea.
It's great because it basically keeps all of the drunk people on a singular point of focus and not whatever their drunk ramblings are. So he just throws out a bunch of trivia. So that was super fun. So it's funny to see Uber is almost like, it's kind of like hitchhiking because you're jumping in a car with a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
but they're getting paid for it. So it's somewhere between taxi and hitchhiking.
And I mean, cool. You can leave a rating and review. So there's that.
Right. But I really love the idea of hitchhiking after listening to this podcast.
I was going
to
say, really, would you hitchhike?
It, after listening to this, I kind of would hitchhike.
It made me feel like I want to take a day and just hitchhike out somewhere, maybe to like a park or something, and then go hike around a park and then hitchhike back and just experience that. Like, I don't need to go far or do like a 3-day trip or anything like that, but I think it would be, I don't know, I think it would be very freeing and kind of therapeutic to do that.
I think it would be a cool experience. And I think this podcast has a lot to do with that, because I never really thought of it as like, oh, it'd be a cool experience to just kind of just go, just wander. But I do feel like this kind of set it up that way, because there was the one author who said that he was on a book tour.
Yeah.
And that he was literally hitchhiking between book tour stops, and that all the bookstores were like, please don't. Like,
we want you to be on time.
We don't want you to be like variable on when you get to a city, or like if you can at all, because you're just trying to hitch a ride everywhere. And so it's just, there was a lot of cool intricacies of the different elements of this that all played out in this podcast.
Yeah. And the crazy thing was, he actually made all of his stops on his book tour from Seattle to Portland and then over to Boston. So like, he went all the way across the US. He made all of his stops on time.
Seattle to Portland is one thing. Portland to Boston is a different
all
thing.
All of the stops between Portland and Boston was probably crazy.
Yeah, like that is nuts. But it's kind of a cool, it's a cool thing to just, and also this kind of brings me back to Cal Fussman, because I feel like it's kind of, there's this wanderer element of it where you're interacting with people you would never interact with otherwise. You're meeting people that you're going to meet and know once, like one moment in time. You're having a single experience, a single interaction with them, and then that's it. And so it kind of gives you that chance to like live in the moment. And it could be like, I feel more like this is idealized a little bit because of this podcast, and it showed a bunch of people. There was nobody on this who was hardcore negative on hitchhiking.
Right.
It was a lot of people who appreciated different elements of it and different kind of intricacies of what was happening. But I still think that would be a kind of cool thing to experience.
And I think it's almost that feeling of when you move to a new city or you start a new job and no one knows who you are, you can kind of redefine who you are. But you get like little microbursts of that. It's like, this person has no idea who you are, is never going to meet you again. You're never going to interact with this person ever again. So you can just be 100% authentic and true and say whatever you want. And if they judge you,
or you can be somebody completely different.
Yeah, or you can be someone else.
There's no rules.
Hello.
Just right.
What was that?
Hello. I don't know. It's just a different accent.
It's Borat, right?
Hello. My name is Juan.
So I thought it was really eye-opening that there's a lot of people that are still hitchhiking. I didn't realize that that was a thing that people kind of did as almost a hobby. It's a thing you can do as part of like a lifestyle or a hobby. And I didn't realize that was a thing that was out there, which is really cool to learn about those new microcosms of the world's big enough now and the internet's connected enough people. There's a micro community for everything.
It really is.
Here's another one. And it's just, it's really cool to hear people just kind of living their dreams and following their passions and chasing the wind, so to speak.
And when he interviews the lady halfway through the episode, and she's kind of talking about the way that she does it, because she was going long distances. So she would have like a tent and stuff like that with her, and she would like sleep at, what was it, like national parks and stuff like that.
That was an interesting, another tidbit that was interesting, as you can stay there. You could just stay at a national park, I guess is the rule.
Yes and no. There's a bunch of rules.
She even mentioned that like she would go pretty late when it was already closed and the checkpoint was pretty much closed, and then she would leave early before they opened it. So probably
so
not.
You can stay anywhere.
Well, there's different things.
Maybe not.
There's different things. National parks, I think, are different, but there's certain park systems that are open where you can just camp wherever. And I think in Europe, as long as it's not someone's private property, I think you can camp there. There's weird rules in Europe where you can kind of just camp wherever.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, that's where I want to go.
It sounds amazing, honestly.
So there's definitely a lot of rules. I've looked into it because I stumbled across it when I was looking into places to go backpack camping, because I've done a little bit of that. And I stumbled into some of the rules and like what you can and can't do. There's a lot of different like rules and regulations. But at the end of the day, if you just sleep somewhere in a tent, most of the time no one's going to be out there looking for tents in the middle of the night.
Typically not.
National forest.
And they kind of talked about the three different kinds of ways to hitchhike. You know, the one is like stick your thumb out and just wait, or as you're walking down the road. Or you could have a sign, which apparently is a little bit of a, you know, it's debated whether or not you should do that or not in the hitchhiking community. And the other one is to like stop at a gas station or something and just ask people, hey, I need a ride.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's probably the most effective. Like, hey, I'm going here. Can you give me a ride to wherever along that route, or which direction are you going? And eventually
that'd probably be the one somewhere that I would not want to do, though, just because,
yeah,
I don't know, talking to strangers immediately, constantly, all day long until one actually decides to take you somewhere.
Yeah, there's that.
Gives me social anxiety just thinking about it.
Yeah, it's true.
But then he interviews the guy that started Hitchwiki, and they talked about something that I hadn't really thought about, which was the fact that it's really hard to hitchhike in big cities. And he was talking about when he had the idea for this, he was in Paris, which is huge, and he was looking online to find somewhere that's a good place to find someone that'll pick you up. And he's like, there wasn't really any good resources, so he decided to make his own, which is awesome.
Yeah, and it's a lot of the nuance that you would never think about unless you hitchhiked a lot, of it's hard to get out of a city.
Yeah, so I never thought of it.
Some of the rules he said were, one, don't panic. And I love that he quoted Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy of the number one rule is don't panic. I think number two is always bring a towel, which is, I think, that's a good rule in life. If you guys have never thought about that, always having at least a small hand towel around. If you spill a drink, you can clean it up. If you need to wipe your glasses off, you can clean it up. If you need to wipe your windshield, whatever. You've always got something to wipe stuff off with. Having a towel is always super useful, because when you don't need it, it's useless. But as soon as you do need it, it's invaluable.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny they mentioned that. And then he said, you want to go to the outside of cities. And so
take public transit to the end of the station, which is usually far enough away.
And when you're hitchhiking through a city, you want to stop like 10 to 20 miles outside of the city and then get a ride all the way across the city so you don't get stuck in the middle of the city. So there's a lot of rules and nuance that you can follow that are going to help you continue your path a lot more strategically, so you don't get caught in different areas, which I thought was really cool to hear, the tactics behind how you hitchhike effectively.
Yeah, and really, this episode, I had not thought about a lot of the different, it's nuance. It's things that I knew what a hitchhiker was, and they talk a little bit about kind of the progression from it was something that was common to it is not very common today. And I was mentioning to the guys that there was that one, he mentioned that there was axe murderers that were killing hitchhikers. There was a Sean Bean movie where he was a bad hitchhiker, I guess. And so he would try and just get rides with people and try and murder them. But it's kind of that same thing. We talked about this with the clowns, where there was kind of a time where there was a couple bad situations and people lost favor with it in general.
This is what the movie Hitch was about, right? Will Smith kills Kevin James in the movie?
Yeah, he kills him and then he tries to date him. Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, and then they got married. Chuck and Larry got married.
If they made a romantic comedy with Will Smith and Kevin James, that would be the best movie
First
ever.
Of all, I would watch that.
The cameo of Adam Sandler?
Yeah, I mean, Adam Sandler has to be in it.
I mean, they did make the romantic comedy with Adam Sandler and Kevin James, which is a classic.
What?
What, Chuck and Larry?
Oh, yeah.
Chuck and Larry.
Chuck and Larry,
I don't know what it was called.
It was Chuck and Larry.
No, I thought it was something else.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry or something weird.
Okay, yeah. So they got married for benefits. It was ridiculous.
That's not what Hitch was about, guys. I know that.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Yeah.
But no, it kind of turned into this thing where people were a little bit scared about who you're riding with. And even they had an interview with a woman on the show, and she talked a little bit about that, where it's like you're kind of putting yourself in a vulnerable position. You are riding with someone you don't know. And as soon as you get into somebody's car, you've kind of, it's...
If you've given them control of...
Yeah, it's... There's
a lot of stuff.
She had some apprehension, just in general, and she was trying to be careful and things like that. And she never had any issues, but she had to think about these things. So in general, this show kind of just shows you nuance that you would never think about, even though everybody is familiar with what hitchhiking is.
Mm-hmm.
But these are things that make it more, real. It makes it more tangible in, everyday life and things that you can understand. And it's a really cool show. And
what would be y'all's ideal hitchhiking area? Or where would you want to do it?
Somewhere around hiking. So either the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific, is it the Pacific Crest Trail?
The one that goes all the way down the
Yeah. There's the West basically Coast. All the way down the West Coast and all the way down the East Coast.
Honestly, I think Appalachian Trail would be perfect because there's kind of that vibe. Because Appalachian Trail, there's a lot of it's generally you all go stay somewhere. Like all along the Appalachian Trail, there's places where you can stop and like hotels and people that will literally let you like stay in their house like Airbnb style because they just are kind of part of that life. And so I feel like that's a very accepting place to try and hitchhike. So
I would love to go to Europe, to a country that I don't know a lot about and do it from like little town to little town.
Well, that's
I think that would be awesome.
Afghanistan.
Nope. That's not in Europe for one.
I didn't say it was in Europe.
Is that yours? Yours is Afghanistan?
No, I was asking if that was yours.
No, so that's not in Europe.
People do backpack trips in Europe where they take one backpack. It has everything they need in one backpack. No luggage, no suitcases, just you have a backpack with all your stuff and you just go take trains and kind of tour through Europe with just a backpack. And I feel like that's the jam. And you hitchhike while you're doing that. You travel around Europe. You keep your cost low. And you just kind of experience the people and the culture there. I feel like that would be amazing. I'm with you on that, Kirk.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah, you sounds
could do,
amazing.
Yeah, you could definitely do Spain. You could do a lot of places in Europe that would all work well. I think anything further north would be too cold. Like if you did any of the Scandinavian countries.
Siberia.
Way too cold. Yeah, way too cold.
See, I was thinking about, you know, when I think about this kind of stuff, I think about us doing it together, like as a group. What are the odds of getting picked up when there's more than one person?
No, especially with three.
What if we tell them that we'll tell them our dumb, dumb stories the whole time? Do you think that makes us more or less likely to get a ride?
Is the difficult part.
I mean, here's the thing. If three dudes are on the side of the road trying to hitchhike, I'm not picking them up.
If I saw you two jabronis with a liter of Topo Chico and a bunch of Slim Jims, I would never pick you up.
Yeah. If I see a guy with a box full of chicken wings trying to hitchhike, I'm not going to pick him up either.
Yeah.
Basically, if you guys aren't gathering, road trips with the PDS is usually
it's road trip daddy
nightmare.
And road trip baby are not fun to travel it's with, not, apparently.
Wait, are you road trip baby now?
Yeah, we already said that a long time ago.
Yeah, we'll lock it in.
Hey, road trip daddy gets things done. I'm the best person to road trip with.
I still hate it. I hate it so much. I always did. But yeah, awesome show. He clearly does care about the audio of it. It's a really quirky show. Very interesting. And you learn stuff that's kind of got his little spin on it. And it's I picked up a lot of things and now I want to hitchhike.
So that brings us to this week's recommendation.
Oh, and I got one for you guys. And I think it's perfect for our group dynamic.
You've kind of hyped it up a little bit, so it better be good now.
This show is called The Great Debates. And what this show is frivolous debates, but moderated. There are two hosts, Steve Healy and Dave King. Steve Healy wrote for The Office and 30 Rock.
Wow.
Dave King wrote for Parks and Rec and The Simpsons.
Jeez.
And The Good Place. And each week, they bring in debate topics that are not serious at all. Well, they can be. It really doesn't. There's no rules. It's just,
I see where this is going.
Let's have a debate. And
no rules, just right. Like Outback.
Just like Outback. But
have it your way.
Not a sponsor.
The episode, Outback is not sponsoring us. Don't go there.
I mean, but if they do sponsor us, then do go
then
there.
Then do go there.
Yeah.
Get a blooming onion.
The cheese fries are great.
So, the episode I'm recommending is episode 309, our traditional holiday gathering with BJ and John. And BJ is BJ Novak, also known as Ryan from The Office, and John Mayer.
Oh,
and
man.
What?
On this episode, they all bring random debate topics, and I would like you guys to bring debate topics. All and right. We are going to debate it up next week.
I've already got mine locked in.
All right. So we've got to know about it beforehand, right? Or no? Do they tell them?
We'll brainstorm.
No,
it.
No. We don't. You don't need to hear this to have.
No, no.
A
what I'm
topic.
Asking is, on the format of this show, do they know what the debate is first?
No, they drop it on the show and then
right,
they debate
great.
It.
All
and
right,
there's
great.
A moderator who basically will, if it's close, he'll say they win. But other than that, they all drop right. it on you live.
We need to get a moderator for next week because it is going to get ferocious.
We're going to try and bring the hot takes to get everybody fired up.
If there's one thing that you should have learned about our show by now is that we will debate and argue the most non-important pedantic things to death.
And this is why I knew that the show would be perfect.
And if only you would hear how much is cut how much we debate.
And, after we record, sometimes it goes for another 3 hours of us yelling at each other.
Yep.
So I think that this is the perfect show for us to cover because
sounds great.
This is how we
I'm excited.
Are.
Yep, I'm stoked. Let's do it. And remember,
there's always more to discover. Thank you for listening to the Podcast Discovery Show. We have a few things we'd like to tell you. First, we would love to hear from you on Twitter at the PDS Official or in our Facebook group, the Podcast Discovery Club.
Secondly, leaving a rating or review on iTunes helps tremendously in giving us visibility and also visibility to the podcast that we recommend. You can also check out our Patreon page to get exclusive bloopers, old episode archives, and other exclusive content while supporting the show.
Finally, seriously, get in touch. We'd love to hear from you about what you love about podcasts. And thank you for being a part of all of the things that we do.
This was a podcast from the Podfix Network. You can check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.